And at this there suddenly came a lowering shadow over his face, and he tightened his grasp upon my hand, and raised a forefinger threateningly before my eyes. "Now, Jim, you tell me true. Isn't that Flint's ship?" he asked. At this I had a happy inspiration. I began to believe that I had found an ally, and I answered him at once. "It's not Flint's ship, and Flint is dead. But I'll tell you true as you ask me. There are some of Flint's hands aboard. Worse luck for the rest of us." "Not a man with one leg," he gasped. "Silver?" I asked. "Ah, Silver," says he. That was his name. "He's the cook, and the ringleader, too." He was still holding me by the wrist, and at that he gave it quite a ring. "If you were sent by Long John," he said, "I'm as good as dead, and I know it. But where were you, do you suppose?" I had made up my mind in a moment, and by way of answer I told him the whole story of our voyage, and the predicament in which we found ourselves. He heard me with the keenest interest, and when I was done he patted me on the head. "You're a good lad, Jim," he said, "and you're all in a clove hitch, ain't you? Well, you just put your trust in Ben Gunn. Ben Gunn's the man to do it. Would you think it likely now that your squire would prove a liberal-minded one, in case of help, him being in a clove hitch, as you remark?" I told him the squire was the most liberal of men. "Aye, but you see," returned Ben Gunn, "I didn't mean giving me a gate to keep, and a suit of livery clothes and such. What I mean is, would he likely to come down to the tune of, say, £1,000 out of money that's as good as a man's own already?" "I'm sure he would," said I. "As it was, all hands were to share. And a passage home," he added, with a look of great shrewdness. "Why," I cried, "the squire's a gentleman, and besides, if we got rid of the others, we should want you to help work the vessel home." "Ah," said he, "so you would," and he seemed very much relieved. "Now I'll tell you what," he went on. "So much I'll tell you and no more. I was in Flint's ship when he buried the treasure, he and 6 strong seamen. They were on shore nigh a week, and us standing off and on in the old Walrus. One fine day up went the signal, and here come Flint by himself in a little boat, and his head done up in a blue scarf. The sun was getting up, and mortal white he looked about the cutwater. But there he was, you mind, and the 6 all dead, dead and buried. How he done it, not a man aboard could make it out. It was battle, murder, and sudden death. Him against 6. Billy Bones was the mate, Long John he was quartermaster, and they asked him where the treasure was. 'Ah,' says he, 'you can go ashore if you like and stay. But as for the ship, she'll be up for more, by thunder.' Well, I was in another ship 3 years back, and we sighted this island. 'Boys,' said I, 'here's Flint's treasure. Let's land and find it.' The captain was displeased at that, but my messmates were all of the same mind and landed. 12 days we looked for it, and every day they had the worse word for me, until one fine morning all hands went aboard. 'As for you, Benjamin Gunn,' says they, 'here's a musket, and a spade and pickaxe. You can stay here and find Flint's money for yourself,' they said. Well, Jim, 3 years have I been here. Now you just mention these words to your squire. Gunn is a good man, you'll say, and he puts a precious sight more confidence in a gentleman born than in these gentlemen of fortune, having been one himself. Well, I said, I don't understand one word that you've been saying, but that's neither here nor there, for how am I to get on board? Ah, said he, that's the hitch for sure. Well, there's my boat that I made with my 2 hands. I keep her under the white rock. If the worst comes to the worst, we might try that after dark. Hi, he broke out. What's that? For just then, although the sun had still an hour or two to run, all the echoes of the island awoke and bellowed to the thunder of a cannon. They've begun to fight, I cried. Follow me. And I began to run toward the anchorage, my terrors all forgotten, while close at my side the marooned man in his goatskins trotted easily and lightly. Left, left, says he. Keep to your left hand, mate Jim. Under the trees with you. There's where I killed my first goat. They don't come down here now. They're all up on the mountains for fear of Benjamin Gunn. Ah, and there's the cemetery, he must have meant. You see the mounds? I come here and pray now and then, when I thought maybe a Sunday would be about due. So he kept talking as I ran, neither expecting nor receiving any answer. The cannon shot was followed, after a considerable interval, by a volley of small arms. Another pause, and then, not a quarter of a mile in front of me, I beheld the Union Jack fluttering in the air above a wood.